Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Oh, would that I were free, unfettered and uncaged. To think that I, king of the jungle, should be so lowly treated. Besides, the food is abominable. But hark! Or is it hurt? The cage door is open. A jar even. What a chintzy outfit. Can't even afford a lock. So exit. Stage left. Ah, freedom at last. It calls for a majestic lion roar of joy. Sheer even. Growl. My roar hinges are a little rusty. But my appetite is so sharp, and me faithful nostrils tell me there's food about.
Oh, that's nasty.
Live from the Center on Halsted, the mothership of the Chicago Pride Parade, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environmental program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. Here he is, the man who got in trouble at the Andersonville Farmers Market when he mistakenly ordered a bag of civil onions, Mike Novak.
Oh, who knew? I mean, the lion was pink, you know, and that was Snagglepuss. And, you know, even then, when I was, I can remember as a youth watching Snagglepuss and knowing something was different about him.
He was unique.
And he was not funny, ever. Those cartoons were never,
ever
funny.
Oh, I thought
funny.
Snagglepuss was a riot.
They were never, ever funny. I don't know.
Exit. I mean,
I believe Hanna-Barbera set the cartoon world back decades.
But they brought the word Murgatroyd to our vocabulary.
Well, that is true. That may be
Heavens
the one.
To Murgatroyd. I mean, come on. That's classic.
This is classic, too. We are sitting in the center on Halsted overlooking Halsted Street and the Pride Parade route. It's amazing because nobody's here.
Not yet.
Not yet.
This will change soon.
We have the barricades are up. And Heather and I are sitting here. It's kind of a prelude. Our show is kind of a prelude to what's going to happen. Because at noon, the sexy liberals are going to come in here. Stephanie Miller and Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. And they are going to broadcast the Pride Parade. And what we found out just a few minutes ago, probably should have known this anyway, this is going to be the very first time that the Pride Parade has been broadcast, and it's right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
That's right.
How awesome is that? We're
making history today.
Yeah. And sitting next to me is a guy who is in a large part responsible for this magnificent facility that we're sitting in here, Modesto Tico Valle, just known as Tico to his friends and enemies probably too, right?
Absolutely. Welcome to the center on a proud Sunday morning.
Oh, this is so great. And now we're starting to see, oh, here's a yellow T-shirts. It looks like some sort of drill team here. Oh, the parade marshals are here.
Ah, they're important.
Can we wave? Hey, parade marshals, you're live.
You're on the radio. Say hi.
It's going to be a long day. Get used to it. Wow, there's a lot of them.
Yes.
How do they get trained? Wow, they just keeps
they're very up. Important.
Yeah.
This is a very big parade. It's very festive. You have people climbing the street lamps and the, you know.
Not now.
But in a few
but
hours.
Soon, yeah.
Soon.
And, but Tico, this center, if you've never been here, people, you need to come down and just see what has been set up here on Halsted Street. When did this go up again?
We opened June 4th, 2007. So we are in our fifth year celebrating this month.
And as I said, it's a magnificent facility. It's got Well, let's talk a little bit about the green stuff.
Absolutely.
Because I know you're very proud. It's a silver LEED certified building.
Absolutely. It's silver LEED, which stands for leadership, energy, and environmental design. Mm-hmm. When the center was created, we went to the community. We said, what do you want to see in your community? It was this is the first time ever for Chicago and the Midwest to have a comprehensive center, and our community very much wanted to take care of the environment. And that came from them, and we took the leadership. And mind you, the center's been open 5 years, but the planning process started 5 years prior to that. So we were ahead of our time.
So what kinds of things did you put in here that were ahead of your time that you anticipated were going to be needed?
One of the most significant pieces was using gray water system to flush the toilets, recyclable water, and we helped to change the plumbing laws in the state of Illinois.
Really?
It is an innovative system. We collect the rain off our roofs, and we use it to flush all the toilets in the building.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
And I know that you also have green roofs.
We do. We have.
And I say roofs because you've got so many different levels here that it's not just a roof. It's all over the place.
It's a beautiful, beautiful green roof that's integrated with a functional rooftop garden, which will be filled with 100 spectators today viewing the parade.
Yes. That's the choice seat, right?
Yes,
well, actually, we have the best view, I think, right here.
I think you do have the best seat. In fact, I'll be hanging out with you.
They even took the windows out. You got to understand that we have there are still screens up, so I don't go jumping through the window, but we took the windows out, and you couldn't get a more perfect day.
Yeah, perfect. And part of that green roof, we decided to add a vegetable garden. So we added a vegetable garden to teach our youth the skills about nutrition and growing vegetables, which we use in our culinary kitchen, and we also use them for our senior program. So very exciting.
Your kitchen is wonderful, too.
Remarkable. We offer culinary programs to teach our youth and seniors nutrition, the skills of cooking, but also give them the tools and skills to find jobs in the restaurant hospitality
now,
industry.
How is that done? I know you have a lot of different people come through the kitchen. How do you maintain that and keep order and cleanliness and that sort of thing? It must be really difficult.
Absolutely. And we rely on a lot of volunteers. In fact, all our culinary classes are taught by Dan Smith from Hardy Boys, who comes over with his staff to do all that teaching. So volunteers are a very important part of the center.
We're talking to Tico Valle, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the Center on Halsted. If you just tuned in, we're sitting on the parade route for the 2011 Chicago Pride Parade. That's not going to kick off until noon, but Heather and I are here in the studio, the makeshift studio, with the best seats in the house for the parade. Unfortunately, Heather and I are going to be on the street when that happens. Stephanie and the boys will be up here, but I'm getting us off track a little bit, but I'm a highly distractible guy, all right?
Very much so.
But where do you think we should set ourselves up on the street to get the most action? So, because we're going to be reporting back to Stephanie.
Absolutely. Right in front of the center.
Just right here?
Yeah, we have some bleachers for our spectators to be comfortable and watch the parade, and this is where all the action will take place. And you'll see people hanging out from their balconies in the high rise in front of us, and
all up and down,
all colors, all lives of walks of life here. And it's a proud day, proud year for us. In fact,
let's go into that just a little bit. It's just been a remarkable month for the LGBT community.
We have seen, finally, civil union, and it's been exciting, a long, long battle. But I really do believe that our work is not done. It's just beginning, because laws will not protect us from hate and bigotry in society.
Mm-hmm. But you must have been very excited when the state of New York passed gay marriage the other day.
Yes, a large state. And
a big state, a really big state.
And more of us now.
Yeah, it was just fabulous the way they pushed that through. And Governor Cuomo really did a good job. And, of course, all the other people who worked with him there. But just like in Illinois, later in the show, We're going to have Illinois State Representative Greg Harris, who was very instrumental in the Illinois civil union law.
Wonderful guy, a great advocate for the city of Chicago.
I can't wait to get him on because apparently Heather and the state representative have been Facebooking back and forth.
Yes, we're friends on Facebook.
You guys are friends on Facebook.
He's liked my statuses the last few days because I've been just gushing about him.
Good. Butter him up. I want him to be happy when he comes.
I don't think there's a politician out there that doesn't like, you know, being gushed about, so I think it was pretty an easy
love
bit.
It.
Yeah. Illinois State Senator Don Harmon.
I was gushing about him, too.
Oh, good. Because, you know, it has to pass both houses there, both chambers of the legislature, the General Assembly in Springfield. Also, I should mention that Tracy Bame, who's a publisher and executive editor of Windy City Media Group, which produces Windy City Times, Night Spots, and other gay media in Chicago, she's going to be here in a little bit as well. All right, now, see, distractible, but I do get back to the topic. I want to talk more about among the things that you have in the building are a lighting system that is computerized. You also it controls HVAC. Tell me about that.
Sure. So the entire building is equipped with sensors to measure the number of people in a room at any given time to ensure the most efficient way of to conserve energy. So sometimes it's too smart for us, so we have to, like, go tap on that computer to make sure those lights go on. But it's a great system. It monitors the AC and the heating, and I'm always a marvel over the fact that it understands that there's 10 people in the room. And
does it really?
It does. And it will adjust to the number of people.
So does it respond to body heat?
Yes,
or?
It does. It does. It's technology nowadays is remarkable.
And was that state-of-the-art when you put that in?
It was state-of-the-art. The other part of that, and when we installed the system, was we bought green energy that comes from another state. We bought it for 3 years in advance to ensure that we were being responsible all the way around. So that was good. When the building was designed, there is an Art Deco facade that we took down brick by brick, numbered the bricks, and bought them back, recycled it. That was something the community very much wanted to see. And we bought back all the bricks of the original building and recycled them into the building.
That's excellent. Yeah. Now, getting on to the whole recycling question, obviously you recycle in the building, but that's one of the things. You recycle water, obviously, because you talked about the gray water. When you were putting the building up, you recycled the facade and other parts of the building. What else in the building?
Well, we make sure that all cleaning detergents are recyclable materials, good for the environment. We went green instead of using paper products for our plates, forks, napkins. We bought in all real materials to make sure that we were living what we preach.
So if anybody who's working in the kitchen is working with real
cups and plates,
will be responsible for washing them, keeping them clean, and that sort of thing.
The concrete, in fact, throughout the entire building has recyclable fly ash. Mixture of coal that we were able to bring and integrate throughout the entire building.
Unbelievable. What are we missing here about? What's that?
How to buy green energy.
Oh, that's a good question. Our intrepid reporter, Leah, is here. By the way, Mark Munger's here as well. Mike McCarthy is spinning the dials. And Leah just asked, how did you buy green energy?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was brought to our attention. We had consultants come out, and we had bids. It's a new way of doing business, and it's pretty high tech.
Did you get it from, or how did that work? What was the process?
We had a company come out, measure the energy that we were going to use in the building, and they actually somehow connect with the center to bring that energy in. I don't know what state. For some reason, I think it's Atlanta.
You're bringing in energy from Atlanta, huh? Okay. And then there are little squirrels running around.
Absolutely,
the
on the roof.
On the roof.
Yeah.
On the green roof. That's amazing. I know you're going to talk to Stephanie Miller about this, but I would be remiss if I didn't get into how you serve the community as well. You have so many different programs. You've got bisexual programs. You've got community technology. That's pretty impressive alone. When you walk in up to the second floor here, or I don't know if you call it a mezzanine or the second floor, this huge computer room. What is that used for?
Cyber Center. It's very popular. You think in this day and age people have technology, and the reality is they don't. And so many people come to the center to use the computers either for resume design, searching for a job, brushing up on their skills on Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
And how do they get access to it? Is there a fee, or do you just have to sign up? What?
It's free to the community, and you just sign up. We give you an email address and a login number, and you can come and go as you please. There's 90-minute limit times, but it is a resource to the community.
You're right, though. In the 21st century, here we are in 2011, and I still get people who listen to the show and call in, and I'll say, I'll send you an email, and they'll say, oh, I don't have a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I had a mom come in and say, I need to learn how to use email. My daughter's been emailing me for an entire year. I don't know how to use it. We taught her. She went back an entire year, responded to every email her daughter ever sent, and of course, I'm sure her daughter hates us now.
Or at least her inbox does.
Yeah.
Not only that, all right, and you can't imagine the size of this building. We've talked about a kitchen and the green roofs and the technology center. You've got a gymnasium here, too.
We have an NBA-sized court, bigger than college, and so we have volleyball, basketball, soccer, hockey, yoga, Pilates, and it's used for expos and conferences on occasion. So one of the things that this center is different from most centers, it's considered the most comprehensive in the country, is that we wanted to make this a destination. We wanted to make sure that people were not just coming for the programs that they needed, therapy, anti-violence, HIV, but a place where they could come and have a cup of coffee, use their laptops, enjoy an art exhibit, play ball, see music, dance, and theater. A place where you can bring...
I hadn't even mentioned that. You've got a theater in the building.
A place where you could bring your mom and dad or a colleague.
Hasn't Hal Sparks performed
we
there?
We love our Hal.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
He's done great work here.
Uh-huh. But so you've and that's the idea. You've got it all. You've got everything that anybody... Like you said, it's a destination.
And, yes.
Tico, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today and broadcast the Pride Parade and to do my show, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, and I hope this continues to be a yearly tradition.
I hope so, too. Are you guys listening?
In great support of that.
at WCPT? All right, fabulous. We've got much more on the Mike Novak Show. By the way, feel free to tweet us and to Facebook us. Give us a call, 773-838-9278. If you want to talk about the Pride Parade, or if you want to talk about green living, whatever it is today, it's. I'm not sure where the show's going, but a lot of it has to do with what's happening here.
Normally we're green, today we're a rainbow. Anything can happen.
That's true. All right, it's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. We will return right after this. Studio, Mike Sanders, Gavin Carroll, kicking out the hits. Did you pick this one, Heather?
Of course I did. This is Da Funk by Daft Punk.
You know, I let Heather take care of the music end of things here, at least today.
Yeah, well, I spent 2 years romping this neighborhood, so I kind of know what music they like to listen to. So it finally is paying off. Experience finally coming to fruition.
It's the Mike it's the Mike Novak Show, broadcasting live from the center on Halsted. Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe that's Stephanie Miller clapping in the background. I don't know. And by the way, to our staff here, let me know when we have a Stephanie Miller sighting here. I think if she shows up before 11, we got to drag her in front of a microphone here and make her say something on my show. And we are overlooking the parade route for the 2011 Chicago Pride Parade. Sitting next to me is Tracy Baim, who's a publisher and executive editor at Windy City Media Group. Hi, how are you? I'm going to make you pull that microphone just a little tighter there. There you go.
Hi, I'm doing great. It's going to be a beautiful Pride Day.
Oh, not a cloud in the sky. Now, Rick DeMaio, I will tell you, who will be on in just a couple of minutes, we're going to get him on, told me that there would not be rain here. And that guy is right so much of the time. I don't know what it is about him, but he will have our weather forecast in a second. But I brought you in because while we were on break, we heard a report that some of the tires in the parade floats had been slashed. Is that true?
Yeah, at 8 o'clock this morning, WindyCityTimes.com, we reported that several dozen tires were slashed at associated floats on South Halsted overnight. They found out when they came in at 5 a.m. this morning. It damaged over 30 floats, but they found a tire place that's open, so they're frantically replacing them. They definitely believe it's a hate crime because they didn't do anything else except damage the tires of the floats.
Nice, huh? Isn't
those don't are we live straight in a, and narrow?
Yeah, well, sometimes we live in a wonderful world, and sometimes the world is not so nice. And but you have to expect some kind of backlash here, especially given the new law, civil unions law in Illinois, and especially what happened in New York the other day with the marriage law passed. It's a shame. But I hope they can get those tires fixed.
Yeah, I think they will. It might delay the start or parts of the parade a little bit, but you're absolutely right. This has happened in previous civil rights movement as well. When there's this minority that is feeling, has anti-gay or is racist or is sexist, they lash out even stronger because they're kind of in the last throes of their predominance, really, in their point of view.
We will get to more of that with Tracy Baim, but I wanted to call attention to you brought in Night Spots, and you've got Fruit Pride on the cover. So an issue that features food?
Well, it wasn't intentionally because of the gardening show, but I thought it was pretty ironic.
I thought it was just for me.
Night Spots is our sister publication, and Kirk Williamson, our managing editor there, decided to play with the word fruit and kind of reclaiming that word. And I thought I would look up for you what kind of fruits we have in the community. So we thought transgender fruit would probably be grape to raisin. That would kind of be transgender. And then
I like grape to wine.
Oh, grape to wine. Oh, that's even better.
Because old, dried out, and wrinkly, and that's what they don't want to be that.
The bisexual would be kind of the tomato because it's kind of either a fruit or vegetable. That's the extent of my gardening knowledge.
That's all you need to know. I mean, obviously. That's fabulous. Well, hey, Mike, we're getting Rick DeMaio on the line, and we'll have. See, he's not used to being on time. I always tell him 9:30, and here we are on the big broadcast, and he's just not prepared for that. But we'll have Rick DeMaio weather in just a second. Tell me about Windy City Media Group. Tracy Baim.
Well, I founded Windy City Times in 1985 with three other gentlemen. We had been workers at Gay Life newspaper at that point, and we decided to create a new entity. So Windy City Times was founded in 1985, so we're going to be 26 years old this year. I actually left Windy City Times for 13 years and ran a publication called Outlines, and then in 2000 purchased Windy City Times back from one of the co-founders. So we're a weekly LGBT newspaper. We've won a lot of awards for our community coverage. We're both a part of the community, and we cover the community. So that can be a really tricky thing when you know a lot of folks in the community, and sometimes there's good and sometimes there's bad.
Okay, that is a very good point because you have to protect journalistic integrity, and yet, as you say, you know a lot of people who are there.
Yeah, we cover a lot of controversies in the community. There's sometimes we had folks with, there's been people that abscond with money. There's domestic violence in the LGBT community. There's definitely the negative. We have everything. If we say we're everywhere, that means we're everywhere in terms of the good and the bad. So we've been doing that for 26 years. We feel we cover organizations when they're in their high points, as well as trying to help them in terms of their struggle through their low points.
I have to ask you what it's been like to be part of this for 28 years and just, or however, 26 years, and the changes you've seen in the community, but also in society as a whole in respect to LGBT?
Well, I feel really fortunate. I came into the community in 1984, right out of college. I'm a Chicagoan, born and bred, but I went away for school. And I came back at age 21 and was really fortunate to get a job at Gay Life newspaper. I wanted to be a journalist, and at that point in time, I couldn't be openly lesbian and do the kind of work I love to do. So I feel like I benefited tremendously from the generation right before me who did the most heavy lifting in the 60s and 70s on our rights, and then also got to see the community just leap forward so much faster than most other movements have been able to. We benefited from the civil rights movement and the peace movement, the women's movement, so that our movement actually accelerated that pace. Most movements took decades and decades to get the progress we've seen, even hundreds of years in the terms of the African-American movement. So we really have seen tremendous success, and I at 48 years old, feel like I was kind of get the best of both worlds. I got to see that struggle before me and then see the tremendous gains we've had now.
Heather, does this woman look 48?
Not at all.
Not even close.
63, huh?
No. One of the things that you did is you've gone back into the history of the movement in Chicago in a book called Out and Proud in Chicago, An Overview of the City's Gay Community. I actually happen to know a few people who are featured in that book. Because I, you know, it's interesting. I wasn't around for a lot of what went on, but I met a lot of those people when I came to Chicago in 1978.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, we were really lucky. That book came out in 2008. It was an overview of the LGBT community, and it's a great companion piece to a WTTW film that was done the same year, and then, of course, the out in Chicago History Museum exhibit that's happening at Chicago History Museum. It's a wonderful exhibit, an overview of the LGBT community.
We're talking to Tracy Baim, who's the publisher and executive editor at Windy City Media Groups, waiting on Rick DeMaio. You know, I was thinking, Heather, maybe we should check, make sure we've got the right number and everything, so let's give him a holler and see if we can track him down. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is a book that you just put together called last year, Obama and the Gays, A Political Marriage. That is inspiring a small amount of controversy, isn't it? I just saw something, you know, statements from the president's office. He made a speech the other day where, you know, he was. It's hard to figure out where that guy's coming from when it comes to gay marriage. He seems to be walking this line, and I'm not sure he's doing it very successfully at the moment.
That's the problem. He's trying to please two sets of people, and there's no way to do that by walking in the middle. The reason there's a controversy is a couple weeks ago, one of his spokespersons denied a survey that we published was actually done by Obama, which is a claim after 15 years. It's the first time they made that claim. Well, actually, he was mistaken, and the White House did issue a retraction on that comment. But it took 4 days for that to cycle through the media. That's an eternity, right?
Right.
So they lost a lot of ground by people thinking he's wishy-washy. The thing that people understand is your courage of your convictions. If you don't believe somebody, but you can respect that they actually speak with authority and are authentic, that goes a long way. And the problem is the people that are against Obama already believe he's for gay marriage. So he's not gaining anything by not using those words. I would have to say that at his speech on Thursday night, he went about as far as you could go without using that word marriage, meaning he said he believes that LGBT people and couples deserve the exact same rights as heterosexuals. Well, if that's not marriage, I don't know what it is. But he doesn't want that soundbite to be used against him. So I can respect that, and I also can respect that actions speak louder than the word marriage, and that he is stopping Defense of Marriage Act defense from the Department of Justice. That's the only thing he can do as president, right? He can't enact legislation. He can't sign a bill that doesn't come to his desk. But he can stop defending a law that he believes unconstitutional. So as far as I'm concerned, his actions are speaking louder than that word marriage at this point in time.
So even though you take issue with that, apparently some... Do you think it's some functionary just made a mistake and the White House didn't correct it fast enough? But how do you let that happen? How do you lose control of the message like that? I mean, I put on my website, because when I saw this, the link to the 1996 survey that was filled out by then candidate for Illinois State Senate Barack Obama. And it's very clear. He says he supports gay marriage.
Right.
It's there. It's in writing, and it's signed by him, and the White House has not denied that he signed it. And yet this whole kerfluffle comes up, and you're right. It makes him look bad.
It just, you know, it makes him look wishy-washy and not committed. I actually believe he's the best president our community has ever seen. We're at a different point in our history than we were under Clinton, but I still think that Obama, even though he's a product of this time, has done more for the LGBT community than anybody else. He's not communicating that message well. A lot of the things he's done are not the sexy issues. And, of course, we have this community that wants those big-ticket issues like marriage in a way that it never did 15 years ago. We never expected this to be this fast along.
I was looking at the tweet deck here, and one of our friends' tweets here says, I'm trying to think of a garden question related to LGBT, but I got nothing. Oh, come on, folks. You can work a little harder than that. That's Tracy Bain, who's sitting next to me. She's publisher and executive editor at Windy City Media Group. We are going to break right here and come back, and I can see that folks are starting to pick their spots along the Pride Parade route and behind the barricades, and we're sitting above it. Heather Fry and Mark Munger and Leah Petrusiak and Tracy Baim and Mike McCarthy, we're all here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We'll be right back. Musical director Heather Fry from high atop the center on Halstead, actually only on the second floor here, but overlooking the Pride Parade route. And I want to remind folks listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk that, of course, at noon, Stephanie Miller will be broadcasting the parade. And as we found out earlier today, Tracy Baim, this is the first time that the parade has been broadcast, and we're very proud to be part of history here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very proud day for Pride.
We are having trouble reaching Rick DeMille, so you know, I'm looking at the Mike McCarthy's got his weather screen up there. Look at that. It's a big old clear circle around Chicago.
Yeah, there are clouds everywhere except around us. The sun is shining down on us today. And it says the high today will be 75. The low tonight will be 66. Partly cloudy going into the evening. And then tomorrow they say strong storms, high of 81. But that's a Monday for you.
No strong storms today.
Nothing today. We have a clear sailing for Pride.
It's beautiful. Look at all the people starting to come out on the balconies there. Across.
Maybe we'll get a rainbow. Oh, we can't do it without rain.
We got plenty of rainbows. We don't need the actual rain, nor do we want it.
We are
no shy of rainbows today.
Leah Petrusiak, who had a question. Did you have a question for Tracy?
No, just as I'm sure I'm going to, because every time you start talking, I have questions, because I'm like, I want to know more. We were going to talk about her other book, though. What was next up on the...
We've covered the one about Obama, and we covered the Out and Proud in Chicago.
So the other one is Leatherman, the legend of Chuck Renslow, but that's not really garden-related, but it's about the founders of
International... Well, neither's the Obama. Did I... Is it? Mike's just furiously signaling me. What did I do here? Am I trapped? Just keep talking.
It's live radio, folks.
I know.
It is live.
Oh, he wants the mic. The cord was in the wrong place.
There you go.
We're all fixed. Oh, thank you. Tell me about that book a little bit.
So it's about the founder of International, Mr. Leather. He's 81 years old this year, and he actually had survived through many mayoral administrations, and the first one was Mayor Daley Sr., and he talks about how the payoff system worked and the police and the mafia and all sorts of ways that he survived through the years as a business owner in Chicago. But I thought that would bring us up today to the current mayor and what the LGBT community expectations are. He had the majority of the LGBT support, as he did in most of the communities of Chicago, coming into the election. So there's really high expectations for him in the LGBT community, and he's going to be marching in the Pride Parade this year. So this is the first time since Mayor Daley Jr.'s first year in office that we'll have the mayor marching in the Pride Parade. So a lot of people are going to be excited. I think he's going to get a great reception today.
Yeah, he probably will. I mean, I think he's in the honeymoon right now.
Yeah.
The honeymoon phase.
Well, he hasn't sold any parking meters off yet, so no one's angry yet.
But that's an interesting point that Mayor Daley marched once and then not again. But he was a pretty good supporter of the gay community.
Oh, yeah,
he?
It really was not necessarily – nobody really saw it as a negative because what he did instead was host a Pride reception every year. He said that his wife, Maggie, told him not to work on Sundays. So that really was his line, and he didn't march in other parades that were on Sundays either. So he's pretty consistent in that. He actually started out very rocky with the LGBT community, especially on AIDS funding issues in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. But he really turned it around, especially with the demarcation of Halsted Street, the Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame. There's all sorts of things in Chicago's LGBT community that do not exist in any other city in the world. There's an LGBT veterans tribute every year. So I think he really did turn it around. Obviously, there's people that disagree with him on a lot of other range of issues, but on LGBT issues specifically, he really did a 180-degree turn.
I should ask you, as I asked Tico earlier, to reflect a little bit on the law that went into effect in Illinois on June 1st, and of course, in light of that, what's happened in New York in the past couple of days, passage of the Marriage Act in that state.
That was a tremendous victory in New York, and because out-of-state marriages are recognized now in at least three of the states that have marriage, that means effectively anybody from the other states could go and get married and then come back to their states and fight for their rights there. The problem with marriage, and one of the things Obama says that's not really quite totally true, is that it's a states' rights issue, but it's a federally recognized right in terms of benefits of Social Security, inheritance, immigration, et cetera. So the battle's now going to be in the state courts, but it's going to have to bubble up through the federal courts to the Supreme Court, because if there's a Defense of Marriage Act in one state that will not recognize a marriage, for example, in Iowa, those people move back, they go back to their home, they have a marriage license, but their own state refuses to recognize it. That is a federal government. That's going to have to be intervened at the court level, the federal level. So that what's going to happen is it's going to give a lot of work to accountants and lawyers for the next few years as they figure out how to file taxes in Illinois as a civil union, but then also how do you separately file in a federal government.
That's one of the things I'm going to ask Representative Greg Harris when he's here, because apparently some people got sucker punched by the Revenue Service in Illinois, which said, no, you can't, the civil unions, you're not going to be able to file jointly.
Right.
Because it doesn't match the federal form. So now, as you said, it sounds like we're in for a period in the next few years of a lot of chaos from state to state. I mean, it is a victory for the LGBT community, but that being said, there's only 10 states that right now, 10 or 11, it depends on exactly what you're talking about, that recognize marriage or civil union. We're still waiting to hear in California on the Prop 8, which people believe will go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, from state to state, it's going to be different, and now we've got the feds involved with the taxes. It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, the most important case bubbling up right now is actually in combination with Prop 8. The state of Massachusetts actually has cases that are further along in the pipeline. One of them is to strike down the portion of Defense of Marriage Act that does not recognize marriage in other states. So if that particular clause of DOMA is struck down, all the way to the Supreme Court, that will be the first of the dominoes that needs to fall legally, because that means that they will at least recognize, if you have a legal marriage in a state like Massachusetts, that the federal government has to recognize it. And inheritance tax alone, there are people that have been bankrupted when their partners pass away because of the tax hit that they have.
That is Tracy Boehm, who is the publisher and executive editor of Windy City Media Group, this is the Mike Novak Show. A little different today. I'm going to bring up something that is, it's a little bit related to gardening here. Some of you who saw me on my Facebook page last night, I got a little upset because
just a bit.
I did. Well, it was not fun. We in my neighborhood. I live in the south part of Logan Square, and it's not the best block in the city. Anybody who's listened to the show knows that I refer to gang problems in my neighborhood, and knows that we put a community garden up recently, which has been very successful, I might add. It has been something that really has brought the community together, and it's one of those things you don't believe can happen until you do it. And then you see all the people who come out and support it, and they're and we don't have a fence. We don't have a lock. We just put the stuff in the garden, and nobody's touched it. Well, actually, the one thing that did happen, we put up two really cute birdhouses, and they got stolen immediately. All right, those were gone within a day or two. But the garden itself, people just they support it, and they help the kids come out with jugs of what we leave, actually plastic jugs in the lot, so kids can fill them up and water the plants because they love to do that. And now we're teaching them how to deadhead, which they think is really cool. You know why? Because they get to use the snippers. Because, you know, of course, you have to watch them like a hawk.
Do you play the Grateful Dead while you do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that doesn't change the neighborhood necessarily. It does change the neighborhood, but we've had gang issues on and off for the last 10 years. And for some reason, now we're starting to have them again. And, you know, I'm not worried. I don't think any of those gangbangers are listening to the show right now.
I doubt it.
I kind of doubt it. But they're suddenly crawling out of the woodwork. And there's some enablers on the block. There's basically what happens is there's some women there who are friends with the gangbangers, and they live there, and so they bring in the bad element, and it might be because they're rent is being paid for by, you know, who knows what it is exactly.
It's a tangled web we weave.
It is. And we've got... Thanks, Mike. Back at the studio. But last night was just crazy. And there weren't any shots fired or anything, but the place was just crawling. You know, I had this guy, the police come down the block, and I'm looking out the window, and this guy's running down my gangway. And I'm like, now, he couldn't get into the backyard because there's a gate. So I come out, and I look around, and he's hiding behind a bush. And I go, what the bleep are you doing there? And he pops up, and he looked at me like, and then there I said, get the bleep out of here. You know? You get to the point where you just, it makes you crazy. Now, in addition to the community garden, which you would hope would change that element, but that element's there. You know, there.
My question is, after the infiltration of numbers last night, is the garden still standing?
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
That's the important thing.
Well, is it? I mean,
well,
you think it changes
to a degree for a gardening show? I guess it is.
Yeah, but from
a neighborhood perspective, probably not the highest priority. But at least it's a sign of improvement. They're respecting something that the community is trying to get together and do. Mm-hmm. You know, so at least I guess call me the eternal optimist. I like to see the glass half full. They didn't trash the radishes. You know?
But you know what they did trash? My front yard.
Nah.
Last week I came out. And I had all these lilies getting ready to pop, and some daylilies too, some cup plant, and they had all been hacked. I mean, like somebody took a stick and just nasty. Just, you know, wiped out. It was almost as if somebody knew where the plant buds were. Somebody knew something about gardening and knew how they could wreak.
You actually just angered someone in a former day or interview, and they struck vengeance upon your daylilies.
I don't think so. And then yesterday.
You think that now.
And then yesterday, my hydrangeas next to the house had flowers all over the sidewalk, and the roses were all beat up with sticks. So this is life in the big city, you know, and...
Gangbangers, the urban deer.
I don't think Bonite has a spray for that one.
I'd be happy to spray him with Bobex, too.
Maybe you should have a live webcam for the radio show there.
You know, I'm thinking, well, but that's the thing. It makes you think about things like putting cameras and just making it difficult for them to do that. It brings me back to what we talked about when you first came into the room, Tracy, which is, and for folks who didn't hear that, some
That was
tires.
A motorcycle going by, folks.
Tires on some of the floats were slashed this morning. And in a big city, there's all kinds of things that happen.
Right. And, you know, the issue of crime is really probably the number one thing that, besides schools, really, that Emmanuel has to tackle. And I don't think they're unconnected. I think the school system is failing the kids, and our economy is failing their generation. So they're obviously, a lot of these crimes are economic, and a lot of them are peer pressure and typical gang stuff. But a tremendous amount of these crimes are economically focused. And, you know, my nephew's in the school system, and he's going through that whole thing of where to go next in the school system because it's just not serving his needs. And so I really think they're not unconnected. And so LGBT issues, yes, they're important, and they're interconnected. But for this city, education and crime have to be the paramount issues for Emmanuel.
Absolutely. And I just got tweeted from Gina. She says, are these people in actual gangs or just a group of raucous youngsters? People seem to throw that term around a lot. And she's right. You know, it's, I don't know. I don't go out and say, can you tell me which gang you belong to? Or if you are, we know some of them are. And some of them, I think, are just hanging around. But we've also overheard them being taught. You know, there's gang school on the block. And you hear them being told how to react a certain way. Or we've picked up on some of the code words they use for when the police are around and that sort of thing. So I don't know. And I don't know that it was gangbangers that trashed my plants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could have been a bunch of kids. You don't
it
know.
It could have been. I suspect it wasn't. The kids like us. You know, they're in the
you
garden.
You open the fire hydrant for them to play in on a hot day.
I know.
Of course they like you.
And that, I swear I'm going to get the cap back on that fire hydrant.
You were the one who first
Well, no. See, the story was we wanted to water the garden, the community garden across the street. All right. And We jumped through the hoops of fire, went to the city, got the permit, and then got the wrench, took it to the fire hydrant, and it didn't work on that fire hydrant. And it was very funny because we're standing there trying to make this work. Some guy driving by, honest to God, rolls down his window, goes, "Wrong wrench!" And that's how I knew. It's like some guy out of nowhere, "Wrong wrench! This is my life." So I called the fire department. They said, "Oh, yeah, you've got the special lock." I said, "Well, can I have," and we talked about this on the air the other week. I said, "Can I have the key?" And they said, "Well, we've only got one per station, so we really can't lend it out." So we had the lock changed back to the regular wrench. Next day, it's 95. The fire hydrant's open, and it's pouring into the street. A few days ago. So you can't win.
Dozens and dozens of neighborhood children that think you're a god among men.
Maybe
as they splash and play.
Well, Tracy Boehm, thank you so much for coming by and being part of this sort of rambling conversation here at the site of the Pride Parade. And good luck and have fun today.
Yeah, okay? You too. You too. Thanks very much.
It's a Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM in the second hour. Illinois State Representative Greg Harris, Illinois State Senator Don Harmon, Brandon Hayden from Chicago Diner, all on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left because I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
Live from the Center on Halsted, the mothership of the Chicago Pride Parade, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environmental program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. Here he is again. He's loud. He's proud. Well, mostly he's just loud. Mike Novak.
Can I get a hand here? Let's have some cheers here in the studio. Hey, you out on Halsted, we're broadcasting live on WCPT. They've got the brewskis already. They got something to drink out there. Look at that, lining up for the 2011 Pride Parade. We're at the center on Halsted, overlooking the site. We've got the best seats in the house. Again, I will remind you that at noon, Chicago's Progressive Talk will be broadcasting the parade, and it's a historic first. It's never been broadcast before. And during, we've got another hour of this show, and of course, as Heather told me to remind you, you can tweet us. Mike Now is the handle, or you can Facebook us, or send me an email. I haven't even checked my email today. I suppose it's because we got so much going on here and so many guests in and out, and I'm very pleased. Oh, before I introduce my next guest, I have to read a couple of things. We were talking in the previous hour about my gang problems in my neighborhood, and Mark Farina on Facebook is busting my chops here. He writes, I heard a guy pulled the knife on you, but he must have been an amateur. It still had butter on it. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. And then he writes, I come from a tough neighborhood. I asked a guy which way it was to the subway. He replied, I don't know. Nobody's ever made it that far. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Thank you. There we go. Thanks, Mike Sanders, back at the studio.
But we're not in the studio. We are live from the Pride Parade today, and we have a very wonderful guest that I believe you should introduce now.
Oh, I am definitely going to do that, and I'm very honored to have Illinois State Representative Greg Harris here with us at the Center on Halsted.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You have your own name on your T-shirt. I've never had that before. It says Greg Harris, State Representative.
You have to read the back.
Congratulations, civil union couples.
Awesome. Yay! What? And you were part of the ceremonies that took place in the park once the law would came to fruition.
I went down there. I watched them. It was a wonderful, wonderful day.
And from a personal standpoint, how was that for you watching that take place?
Just watching the joy on people's faces was really amazing. And, you know, when I was trying to pass the law, you know, you get all into the minutiae of the legislative process and all that, but then you see that this is changing people's lives. And it was sort of interesting. I was talking last week to friends of mine who were one of the couples, and they've been together 30 some years already, and they said it really feels different. It really feels different to them to realize now they're legally a couple, that society and our government and our law, you know, recognize them as a legal couple. And we still have a long way to go to full marriage equality. I think, you know, Tracy was talking about that in your last segment, that we have to pass full marriage equality here in our state, and we also have to get rid of the federal DOMA law before people really have true equality.
And you've been working on this a long time. You introduced bills like this for the last, what, 5-6 years?
3 years. This is the amazing thing. And this is the velocity of change in our society on the topic of LGBT equality. Susan Catania introduced the first bill into the legislature in 1975 that would simply prohibit discriminating against lesbian or gay people, bisexual or transgender people in housing, employment, or public accommodations. It took 30 years for that to pass. 30 years for our state to say you can't discriminate against somebody just because of their sexual orientation. You know, we introduced the civil unions and the marriage bill in 2007. It passed in 2010. The velocity of change is really, really rapid. AP, a lot of the polls this year showed for the first time nationally, over 50% of Americans believe in full marriage equality. 10 years ago, that was in the 30s. So people's attitudes are changing and evolving very quickly on this topic.
People talk about this all the time, about how, often the public is ahead of their representatives in terms of issues like this. And as you say, there are polls that show that so many people in America, a majority, believe in this, and yet there are so many roadblocks to it along the way. How is it that the people who are elected to represent us don't represent us?
Well, you know, as I worked with my colleagues, I mean, I'm in a gay guy who represents a district on the north side of Chicago. So a lot of people will come talk to me about some of these issues. But as I talk to my colleagues in central Illinois and the suburbs downstate, saying, we're not hearing about this pro or con in our district. You know, people come and they talk about jobs and they talk about agriculture and they talk about all these other things. So a lot of what we had to do over these last couple of years was just motivate people, you know, either they're through, you know, lesbian and gay groups in different parts of the state. Even if people lived up here in the city of Chicago, their moms and dads, their grandma and their grandpa still lived downstate, go in and talk to your representative and say, or your senator, and say, this is important to our family. We want, you know, our gay grandchild to be treated just the same in this state as our straight grandchild. You know, we wanted, you know, faith communities to pass petitions in their churches. So it was just important to get the message out that this is not just, oh, those people on the North Lakefront, because sometimes that's how it looks from the media coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently on the first day of the civil unions in Illinois, there were marriages in every single county in
all
the state of
102
Illinois.
Counties had civil unions, and the clerks were excited in different counties where, you know, the clerk said, we have no idea. We only issue 200 marriage licenses in a year. We have no idea what to expect. The clerk workers had chipped in out of their own pocket to buy cakes and gifts and flowers for the couples who came in. And it was really something because people were so excited.
And I heard something yesterday, a report about one of the Republican senators in New York State who, I guess there were four, who stood up for the gay marriage bill in New York State. And he was one of them, and after it passed and was signed by the governor, he said the response immediately had been about 95% positive in his very red district.
Yeah.
Which tells you something.
In Illinois, when we voted on civil unions, it was done by bipartisan votes in both chambers. People who are Republicans say, look, we're very fiscally conservative in my area, but we're also very socially moderate. We realize this thing, its time is coming. In New York, I think the thing that really needs to be focused on is marriage equality. The last vote on marriage equality that wrote it into law was passed by a Republican-controlled Senate. It was not done by a bunch of Democrats. This was passed into law by a Republicanly controlled Senate.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine how they let it even come up for a vote.
Well, I think they've decided. I mean, these guys are professional politicians.
Well,
they can look at the polls. They can say society is evolving and changing. If you're under 35, regardless of your party affiliation, your religious affiliation, where you live, you believe in marriage equality. If you want to be in office 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
you better be on the right side of this issue.
Well, I guess that's the point that, in fact, somebody tweeted me about this earlier during the show about how interracial marriage was looked at in the same light years ago. And you can just see the sweep of history. And it always amazes me that people fail to see that, to see that eventually – history is going to fall on the side of equal rights. It's going to have bumps and starts, but it's going to go in that direction. So why not get on board?
Well, when I presented this to the House, when I presented the bill and got up and spoke, it was interesting because I went back in the history of our state and you look at all the other major social issues of our time. I mean, we'll take 6,000 votes a year, and there are very few the public will remember. This will be one of them that goes down in the history books when we voted on marriage equality, racial equality, the Civil Rights Act were other votes, giving women the right to vote were other votes that people remember and now look back and like, why was this such a big issue? But you go back and you look at the arguments against them at the time, it's always been the same argument. Well, the Bible tells us so. This is the divine will. This is not how society has functioned. Those arguments are, you know, go by the wayside. And, you know, 10 years from now, people are going to look back on this issue just as we look back at who would ever oppose interracial marriage, who would ever oppose a woman's right to vote, and just say, why did people get so worked up about it at the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say this because it's something that's popped in my head in the last couple of days. I marched back in the mid-'80s for the Equal Rights Amendment. Which failed, of course. And had it not failed, excuse me, we might not have had decisions like the Walmart one we had from the Supreme Court the other day, because those women might have had an opportunity to be fairly represented in that company. And sometimes I think, really, we should have passed that, because there are still ways that that women are oppressed, and you know, it's almost becoming the last group of people. You know, with all due respect to the LGBT community, there's still ways that you find that women are not they don't have the rights that they should have.
Well, I mean, if this is a work in progress. Achieving full equality is a work in progress. And you always got to remember there are haters and there are Neanderthals out there. I mean, simply the fact that a couple dozen of the floats that are supposed to be in this parade today were vandalized late last night and they won't be able to show up just shows us.
Does it mean they're not going to be able to do it?
They're working right now, yeah. Mine being one of them, that they're really working to try to get the damage fixed. But there are people out there, you know, who are haters. There are people who resort to violence. I mean, we know this. We know this is out here. But a parade is not floats. A parade is not costumes. This parade today is about pride. It's about equality. It's about hundreds of thousands of people who will be standing here cheering. It's about tens of thousands of people who will be standing up and marching and saying, we believe in equal treatment under the law in this state, in this country, and we're proud to show it.
We're talking to State Representative Greg Harris, and you know how I know that? Because it's on his T-shirt. It's right on his chest there.
Hey, you named the radio show after you. Why can't he have a T-shirt?
No, I'm not. I think it's a great thing. Everybody should
I don't have a
t-shirt.
Catchy slogan about greenness or anything like that.
Well, you know, as Heather said, today's show is many colors. It's a rainbow.
It's a rainbow today. We're not just green.
And as a matter of fact, let's bring in State Senator Don Harmon as well, because I know she's hanging out.
He is
out.
Here.
Let's bring him in.
I'll even move the dolly that's parked in the
that's
middle
right.
of the road here.
You don't know how
we have a lot going on. Well, it's a wonderful community center. They're doing a lot of different things with the parade today. So some of their dear staffers are trying very, very politely to sneak around us to get supplies and things that they need.
Well, all the Ritz crackers appeared to be stored behind us.
Yeah. Well, if we get locked in, we'll survive a few days.
Go ahead. Hold on. Let's wait till the mic's on. There we go. Go ahead,
Are
Leah.
We on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, shoot.
it's radio.
I was just reading the New York Times yesterday. All of the money that seemed to have changed hands among legislators in New York to actually pass the pass gay marriage in New York. And I'm just wondering what kind of what political weight,
what's the horse trading?
What was the trade that went on, or what were some of the behind the scenes things that happened to actually bring this
First
forward?
Of all, let me say good morning to Senator Don Harmon from the west side of Chicago and Oak Park, who just walked
Pleasure
into the room.
Pleasure to meet you, sir. Grab a headset there, and we're just having a discussion about politics and LGBT community and marriage and all kinds of cool things.
So your question is what kind of money changed hands, what kind of horse trading? Now, I will tell you this, that people who support equality said to folks who took tough votes on this issue, you've stood up for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. We know this could be a tough vote for you. If people come after you in the election, we're going to stand up to you. We're going to put boots on the ground. We're going to have people walking door to door for you. We're going to support you in the election. We're going to raise money for you. Because if you're our friend, we're going to be your friend. And I think that that's very, you know, again, for me, possibly for Senator Harmon, I'll let him speak for himself. In our districts, we know this is a vote that a lot of people want us to take. For some of our colleagues voting for the civil union bill, that was a tough vote for them. They did it because it was a matter of conscience, and we need to be there. We need to say, you stand with us, we're going to stand with you.
Right.
And welcome, Senator Don Harmon. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And are you marching in the parade, too?
I am.
That's great. It's absolutely wonderful. And you guys know each other because it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to get this bill passed. And I know that a lot of roadblocks were thrown in the way. So and of course, you represent different chambers of the General Assembly. What can you say about the partnership of the people who made this happen? I mean, you had to be working back and forth in both houses. I'm just kind of interested in what that was like.
Well, it was a remarkable process, and it certainly didn't happen overnight. We had a great Senate sponsor. We had a great House sponsor as well, but our Senate sponsor was a little more unconventional. We had an ordained minister from Peoria whose daughter happened to be a lesbian, and he took this cause up, Senator Dave Kaler. Did a remarkable job of bridging traditional gaps and getting this passed.
What I need to do, I have some questions about this and where it's going, because I know that even now that we have civil unions in Illinois, there's a long rocky road. We talked about this with Tracy Baim earlier from Windy City Times, and I want to talk about some of the roadblocks that have arisen here, namely taxes, which I saw just the other day, and the difference between states that have civil unions and states that have marriage. So we're going to take a break right now and return with Illinois State Representative Greg Harris and Illinois State Senator Don Harmon. This is the Mike Novak Show, broadcasting live from the parade route for the 2011 Chicago Pride Parade from the Center on Halsted on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. If you've been paying attention the last hour and a half, we are broadcasting live from the Center on Halsted, and we're getting ready for the 2011 Chicago Pride Parade. Of course, Stephanie Miller and Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang will be broadcasting the parade live. It's a broadcast first in Chicago, never been done before. And they start at noon, and then Heather and I will be out on the street, so to speak.
Yes, we will.
And we'll be reporting. I've got my press pass. I'm going to be, hey, I'm press. Let me go. Let me in here.
How come Heather gets a nice shirt and you don't?
His is on the hanger over there. He chose not to wear it just yet.
You've got your name, Greg Harris. I've got my roto name, Nosmo. You don't even know what that means. But it goes back a long way to my theater days, okay? I wanted to wear something a little bright. You don't like the red color?
Not so much.
Well, that's all the time we have for Greg Harris. All right. Before we get back to our conversation, let's go quickly to Mr. Rick DeMaio. Are you with us, Rick?
I'm with you now, Mike. Sorry about missing you before.
Were you on a different time zone there?
Yeah, you know what? It was interesting. I was over at my friend Rebecca's place in Evanston, and she was without power for 3 days. So I'm over here, you know, cleaning up and stuff like that. And I look at the clock, and I notice the clock just seemed off. And I go, is that clock on the right time? And she goes, well, I haven't reset it yet since the power is. And all of a sudden, I look, and I go, whoops. And then it's 10. I couldn't believe it. I totally blew it. So now, yeah, I was on Evanston time. You know, we're a little bit further north than you down there at Halsted.
Yeah, you know, those Evanstonians, they march to a different drummer up there. All right, so
it's... Hey, the weather's working out pretty nice this morning, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I was looking at radar, and it's a big circle of high... looks like high pressure around Chicago or whatever it is, but it's right. Clear.
Yeah, you know, it was one of these things where, you know, we had that cluster of storms go across central Illinois yesterday. We had a lot of cloud cover, but everything has passed south of us. And I think everything's going to stay south of us today, so we're looking at generally dry weather today, temperatures in the mid-70s, and it looks like a pretty stormy day tomorrow, Monday, and the rest of the week after that looks pretty good, actually.
So the Pride Parade is dodging the storm bullet here, huh?
Yeah. That was one of those phrases we were taught not to say on TV, but you could say it on radio, I guess.
Well, on my show, as you know, there are very few limits. And I never went to meteorological school, so I don't know which phrases I'm not supposed to use. So the temps, once the storms pass tomorrow, what do the temps look like, and will there be any more rain the rest of the week?
Well, we're looking at mid to upper 70s today. Lake water temperature still about 10 degrees below average. We're probably upper, we'll say mid-80s during the day on Monday. There will be a couple of rounds of heavy thunderstorms, probably after midnight tonight, early Monday, and probably late again Monday afternoon into the evening. And then once this lazy cold front passes, very pleasant, probably low 80s on Tuesday, near 80 Wednesday. And then the heat and humidity will slowly build, and it'll crescendo generally to about 90. during the day on Friday and probably low 90s Saturday. So, again, it's been one of these patterns, Mike, where every time we get hot, it usually comes with a dose of heat and humidity and a couple of big thunderstorms, and right after that, we cool back down. So we'll get some heavy rainfall, probably in the tune of about maybe 1 to 2 inches on Monday, but then dry after that, and that pales to comparison of what parts of West Texas and New Mexico have received. Check in Albuquerque, New Mexico yesterday, they've received a grand total, listen to this, Mike, 0.19 inches of precipitation since the 1st of January. That's unbelievable.
Goodness.
Yeah. Then you realize why so much of the Deep South and the Southern Plains are in a terrible drought. But our soil moisture is doing well, and after a wet day tomorrow, the rest of the week looks great, Mike.
All right, that's Rick DeMille Weather, and you can go to DeMilleWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and see Rick's smiling face there and check his website. Rick, thank you so much, even a little bit late, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, have a good parade.
Thanks. We are in the, in the special broadcast area overlooking Halsted Street, and I know that State Representative Greg Harris is going to have to duck out in just a second. That message you just got was very funny. That you were reading to us while we were on break about the float that they hope wasn't damaged.
Well, yes. Apparently, one person's quite concerned that the Absolute Vodka float survived.
We all hope that float survives. Before you leave, I want to know what the difference between the New York law and the Illinois law. What differences are there, and what does that mean for the future of what happens in the state of Illinois? I mean, is it better to have civil unions, or is it better to have marriage? Some people would prefer marriage, but I imagine other people would just prefer to have the state recognize it.
Well, our law, the civil union law, grants all the rights, protections, and obligations that marriage grants to spouses in Illinois. But it does not use the M word. It does not use marriage. It creates a different category. In New York, they amended the marriage statute to allow lesbian and gay people to take advantage. I think that's where we need to be. I think that's where all the states need to be eventually. But, you know, whatever we do as the states, we still have a problem because of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which creates all kinds of impediments to people enjoying all the rights across the country. Whether the state grants you a civil union benefit, a domestic partner benefit, a marriage benefit, you know, whatever it's called. So we will keep working for marriage. We will keep working for full marriage in the state of Illinois. It took them a couple tries in the state of New York, and I really congratulate them for their persistence. But right now there are a lot of people who are really worried before, because they had no rights or protections in this state, that what if somebody's hospitalized? You know, what if one of their children has an accident? You know, what if they have to deal with a probate court and they had no legal standing? Now in the state of Illinois, at least LGBT couples have all the rights and privileges, and we'll keep working toward full marriage equality because it's the right place to be.
What about this roadblock that has popped up in the last few days about income taxes and people in civil unions not being able to file jointly, because that's not the way the federal income tax.
Well, and this is one of the problems of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. It does not allow the recognition. Yeah, typically, the definition of marriage has always been left to the states. You know, many things are left to the states by our federal constitution. Under the Republican administrations, the Defense of Marriage Act was passed to take away the rights of the states to define who should be married, you know, what relationship recognition laws apply, only in the case of lesbian and gay people. And that's the Defense of Marriage Act. And that has created a second class of citizenship across our country for all LGBT people, regardless of what the individual states do. Until that problem gets solved, we're going to run into these problems. You have the situation where our Department of Revenue has opined, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'll let the lawyers, you know, look at and try to figure out, you know, if this is the right or the wrong opinion, that Illinois tax forms flow from the federal tax forms, and because the federal government does not recognize lesbian and gays as being married, the state cannot do that. But we also have sort of an opposite problem where the state of Illinois is helping other states. Because we recognize marriages and civil unions for same-sex couples performed in other states as civil unions here, we also allow them to get those relationships dissolved. And in some of the other states that passed these laws earlier, they didn't take into account what happens if somebody, say, gets married in Massachusetts and then they move to Texas. And there's a case of two women who did that. They decided they needed to get divorced. Well, in Texas law, they have no standing in the Texas courts because Texas says we don't recognize same-sex relationships. They are not residents of Massachusetts anymore. They'd have to go back and live another year in Massachusetts. You know, we at least have learned from that mistake. But until the relationship recognition laws in all 50 states are given full faith and credit, as marriage laws are now, until the government treats everyone's relationship the same and doesn't pick and choose what marriage they consider valid at the federal level, regardless of what states, we're going to have some of these problems.
Senator Harmon, would you like to chime in on that, or do you think?
I think Greg has covered the issue very well. It's a hodgepodge right now, and it's something we're going to have to struggle with until we have that sort of uniformity. But it's nothing that we can't tackle one problem at a time.
Well, you know, better a hodgepodge than nothing. You know, we're at a point where the hodgepodge is progress at this point. Having to answer these questions and deal with them and get the lawyers. And I had somebody.
The interesting thing, and I'll just, before you get to this comment, the CEO of one of our big Fortune 100 companies that's here in Illinois said to me one time, you know, he said, it's not going to be the LGBT community that finally solves this problem nationally. He said, it's going to be big business guys like me who are trying to attract and retain employees and do business in all 50 states. And we're looking at different benefits and different relationship recognitions and employees who say, I won't take a transfer here because my husband cannot move with me and be recognized. At some point, in his opinion, it's going to be the big business of America that says this kind of discrimination is bad for business. It's a drain on our profitability. Congress, get your act together and do the right thing.
And from what I've seen at this point, New York stands to benefit because of their liberal marriage laws. So the residency requirement is not onerous. And they're likely to get a lot of business in there, simply people coming to the state and getting married.
But people also need to realize they may get married in New York, but if they come back to a state that does not recognize it because of these Defensive Marriage Act provisions, you know, they need to be very, you know, careful of what they do because they may have no legal rights when they go home.
I got an interesting tweet here. It says, my partner and I were married in Canada. Do you think that will translate in the U.S.? Should we have a Chicago civil union? Not sure.
Well, in Illinois, you know, our law specifically states that if you are legally married in another jurisdiction or have a civil union or a substantially similar arrangement, your relationship is recognized as a civil union for purpose of Illinois law. Now, should they travel to Arkansas and have a car accident, you know, they're not going to have the protection. So people need to be very careful about having, you know, health care powers of attorney and all their legal documentation. If you're traveling with children, you know, who may not be recognized as the children of both parents in other states, you can run into problems. This is going to be a huge issue going forward.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's that you shouldn't forget to do backup. It's power of attorney is still going to be very important, isn't it?
And even here in the state of Illinois, there are, you know, probably institutions. I've run across a couple of them. You know, businesses who haven't yet, you know, fully taken in the change in the law, that they have to change their employment policies and their insurance policies, and, you know, hospitals who, you know, may be confronted in the emergency room for the first time with a woman saying, that lady in there is my spouse, and we have a civil union, knowing what that means. So there will be a learning curve as we change, you know, what has become decades of tradition and practice in this country. There's going to be a learning curve, so people should be sure that they, you know, keep their, you know, legal house in order. And that's the same for straight people, too. You got to get your will done. You've got to, you know, be sure your kids are provided for. Because at the time you really need these protections, when you think about, you know, hospital visitation and probate, these are life's emergencies. know, you've got to just be sure you're ready before one of those things happens.
Well said. That is State Representative Greg Harris. I understand you have to leave, so I'm going to let you duck out
of
here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for being
here. Senator.
Senator Harmon, can you stick around for a
Absolutely.
Couple more minutes? This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. As you can tell, it's a little different format today. Not so much about gardening, but a lot about pride and civil rights in the state of Illinois and elsewhere in the country. You have to look at the progress that's been made and smile a little bit, don't you think, Senator Harmon?
It's been a good year. We've managed to make some real progress. When I was first elected to the Senate, we were still debating the Human Rights Act and whether that should be extended to protect same-sex couples. So to make this giant leap forward, we still may have a ways to go, but it's been a good year.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to drag it back around to something that seems a little, well, it's yesterday's news. Actually, it's last year's news. But one of the things that I couldn't help noticing when I was looking up things that you'd been involved in is the idea of burning tires as green energy. And that, you know, and you look at that and you go, well, that's really silly. But it passed the House in Illinois. The Senate didn't have a whole lot of patience with it, but you were one of the chief opponents of this bill.
I was. I started working on this issue shortly after I was elected and introduced some legislation regarding renewable energy and energy efficiency. And some of the old hands said, well, what are you doing? This isn't going to go anywhere. Why are you waiting into this? And a couple of years ago, we were finally successful in passing a renewable energy portfolio standard that will push us going forward to using about 25% of our energy from renewable sources by 2025. And that's created a cottage industry. So we periodically see folks coming to say, couldn't this be renewable energy as well? And sometimes you say yes, but burning tires didn't seem to pass the smell test to me.
Literally.
Yeah.
So where do you see Illinois in terms of clean energy moving into the future? How do we compare with other states?
We're doing fairly well, and if you drive through central Illinois, you can see the investment we've made in wind energy. The turbines are up across the state, and
I see them all the time. Yeah, in the middle of the state, it's quite remarkable. Even you'll go to towns, and the town will have its own windmill.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like we'll put it on the outskirts of town. It's not a whole farm; it's one or two. And that's pretty encouraging.
You know, there's one in my district right at the border of Franklin Park and Schiller Park. There's a lone turbine that's near the highway. And it's great to see that kind of a one-off investment. But it really is. We've made progress there. We've made a lot of investment in solar technology. And we have to keep an open mind as to what really is renewable energy, what's an energy source that's at least better than the status quo. It's a complicated state, and the folks in northeastern Illinois may have a different vantage point than folks in deep southern Illinois.
Well, yeah, one of the things were the power plants that were proposed, one in the southeast side of Chicago and then the one downstate, which would have been unfortunately linked to an increase in gas rates. Where did you stand on that?
I did support the Leucadia project on the southeast side of Chicago. It passed the Senate again in a reformatted constitution that will protect ratepayers from that sort of a rate increase. The idea is to hedge against the rate spikes and to provide a lower cost synthetic natural gas built on coal. And that's just something we have to wrestle with here in Illinois. We're a coal state, and my colleagues from southern and central Illinois rely on that coal industry. So I think it's incumbent upon us to keep an open mind to see if there isn't, in fact, a way to use coal in a much more clean and sustainable way.
Well, this is one point where I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you, because I just don't see that as the future. I my feeling is that, yes, I understand that we're a coal state, and I understand you have to work with downstate legislators as well, but I personally believe that clean coal is a myth. You know, I'd be happy to have a beer with you and talk about this.
Well, it may well be, and I'm not saying that it's not. What I'm saying is while we make the investments in truly renewable energy, wind and solar, we just need to keep an open mind here in Illinois, because mm-hmm. there is that political pressure. And if there were a way to prove that clean coal could work, we should embrace it. And if there's not, we should reject it.
Well, Senator Don Harmon, congratulations on this Pride Parade for your efforts in the General Assembly in getting the Civil Unions Bill passed and working with Greg Harris. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I hope you have a really good time. You've got perfect weather.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, and when you find that, what was it, the vodka float? I don't know. Maybe another. Oh, look, there's a big truck going down the street. It was great having you here, we'll talk in the future. I'd like to discuss these issues some more.
I'd love to. Thanks
All
for
right.
having me.
A pleasure. All right, we're going to take a short break and wrap this up. It's the Mike Novak Show, broadcasting live from the center on Halsted, overlooking the Pride Parade. The people are getting in line. They're getting behind the barricades. This is going to fill up very quickly, so if you're coming down, you probably want to do it right now. We're listening, well, you're listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Say, we can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, we don't know one far behind. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're winding down here. There's been a sexy liberal sighting here.
It got a little hotter in here.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
it got a little hotter in here. I can feel the heat. It's a good thing we have the windows open here. Actually, the breeze is nice coming through here.
It's a beautiful day. The crowd is filling up more and more. It's going to be a really great pride.
And
as
that,
it is every year.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's Heather Fry. And in the studio here, we've got intrepid reporter Leah Petrusiak. Mark Munger is here. He's in charge of the camera. Mike McCarthy spinning the dials. Charlie Gross. A Charlie Gross sighting, too. Before we do the end of the program, I think maybe Ms. Miller will come on and grace us for a couple.
We have WCPT's brightest and finest in the studio with us today, overlooking Halsted Street.
But first, we're going to go to, I don't know which line, it's probably line one, that always happens to me, and talk to Brandon Hayden, who's from the Chicago Diner. Brandon, are you with us?
I am.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Chicago Diner, if you've never been there, is an institution on Halsted Street. And I want to ask you first, how many Pride Parades have you been involved with, or at least watched through the front door there?
I've been involved with two so far.
Okay. It must be kind of interesting because you've got a front row seat there.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially from the second floor. That's pretty much the perfect perspective. To catch the Pride Parade.
Well, now, what do you guys do during the Pride? Are you open, or do you just shut it down? I mean, is it possible to run a restaurant during Pride Parade?
You'd be surprised. Yeah, it's we actually do a pretty decent brunch for people who start to camp out on the streets to get good spots, and a lot of folks will stop in or get takeout. So we do a little bit of a rush before the parade, and then during the parade, it's totally silent inside. And then immediately after, seriously, the moment after that last float goes down, we're just busy all night. Yeah.
That must
yeah,
be weird that the silence during the parade must be really strange.
Well, I mean silence figuratively. We're having a good time. So.
Oh, okay. okay, that's good. of course not. Now, as I said, Chicago Diner is an institution, and you guys were vegetarian before it was fashionable. I mean, meat-free since 83.
1983, yeah. I was two.
Yeah, but, you know, that's okay.
Well, he just made me feel ancient.
Brandon, I love it when you make Heather feel ancient.
Oh, okay. Am I doing you a service here?
Yes, you are definitely doing me a service today. Tell me what makes the restaurant so different from other vegetarian establishments.
I think the main pull is, there's so many things. The first one would definitely be the food, which is its own event, really. This is the only place that I've ever really been to, and I've been a strict vegetarian for 11 years now, that we really seem to have down the classic Americana cuisine everything that you love or that you associate in the traditional sense, of like hearty meatloaf, country fried steak, thick meaty sandwiches, mashed potatoes, all those things, except all vegan. So totally violence-free, totally cruelty-free. And it's there. You can have it. It's the proof. It's the ultimate proof that people who choose this diet can still enjoy everything that everybody else can.
You know, I've had some meatless meat in the past that was nasty. but I'm sure that's not the... I'll bet you have, too. Yeah. Why is it... Do you have a proprietary recipe for that kind of thing there? Or can you tell me a little bit why your meatless meat might be good?
We do have the sacred recipe.
Yeah.
Right. For preparing our seitan and... However, our soy-based products as well, it's taken 28 years to really to master, but I think they came into it right. And, we also work with a lot of local places as well, Chicago Soy Dairy, Upton's Naturals. We get some of their seitan and soy products as well. So there's a local conglomerate of people who have also been doing this for a long time, trying to find the perfect recipes, the perfect blends to really up the par on vegan cuisine.
Well, you guys have obviously reached the pinnacle there, and it's at 34. Well, I've been in there, but I have to tell you, I was in there Christmas caroling one year. That's my my one story about Chicago Diner, but I'm going to come by and have a meal. And it's at 3411 Halstead. Enjoy the parade, Brandon, and I will stop by and say hi at some point.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care. Happy parade.
Bye-bye. You know what? I think, Heather, it is time to bring in some sexy liberals.
Yeah, the sex appeal in here just skyrocketed.
except you can't do radio with a mouthful of food.
Yes, she can. She's a sexy liberal. She can do whatever she wants.
And she's got, you know, the shades on and everything. Yeah.
There we go. Are we on live?
Yes, we are.
No. This is taped.
Oh.
Stephanie Miller. Hey, all you out there, say hi to Stephanie Miller.
Hello.
I don't think you yelled loud enough, my friend.
Hello.
Well, there'll be a lot more when you're doing this in another hour.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're just, you know, my opening act, my friend.
and then
can you juggle?
Yeah, I can actually. Where's I don't have anything to do. Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. Well, I used to live here, you know.
I know.
I know. I mean, you're nobody till you've been fired in Chicago, for God's sakes.
I only got fired in Detroit.
I got fired in Chicago once. At least once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, you're nobody till
it happened. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Then I was official. Then they told me I was actually a radio person once I got fired. And then in the city of Chicago, then it was official. I was in the industry.
There you
that
go.
That was what I needed.
There you go. That's your card into the industry.
So you didn't pull anything? You didn't break anything in the sexy liberal extravaganza last night?
I did. I've got, for a woman of my advanced years, I really should not be throwing myself around the stage like a rag doll. I think I've blown out a knee. I have a sprained ankle, I'm pretty sure.
You shouldn't do it on heels. You're never going to do that.
She did it amazingly in heels, and the flailing was spot on.
Thank you. I did it the Chicago way.
I only flail on the radio, though. See, that's the difference.
Now, if you can do it on stage and the radio, then you got something special.
Uh-huh.
See, that's why I should stick with radio. I'm just way too old for this. Dr. Dan's going to have to replace a hip now.
Yeah.
After sexy liberal lesson.
You know, they're getting really good at that. They can probably do it while you're on the air.
He needs to repair the stitch in my side. I laughed so hard. It was hysterically funny.
Thank you. I was really drunk, so I don't remember it. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Well, the beauty of it, we were sitting in the audience. They had we were right by the beer tent there, or the beer stand. So
awesome.
We were drinking, too.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
I'm much funnier when
we couldn't get the box
drunk.
Wine under our shirts, though. They kind of caught up to that and took it away. I heard they brought it to you guys, so I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And did you notice Heather's toenails there?
You have pride toenails.
I do. So much pride.
Sister friend.
Spilled out of my feet.
Oh, my gosh.
She did two things. She did the pride toenails, but the green fingernails, because it's nominally a green show.
Oh, I got it. I
radio theme the nails. Yes.
I got it.
But today it's kind of rainbow show.
I have bikini waxed my hair down there in the shape of Rahm Emanuel. I don't really know why.
Fantastic.
I just... you know, a little shout out. What?
I think when he comes down the street, just wave and let him know what's going on.
Well, we got a minute till you and I are about to team up with the Sexy Liberals and run out into the street, and then we have an hour before you guys go live.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. Heather and I will be out there with our magical cell phones.
Yes, and your intrepid reporters reporting back to you.
You're going to be safe here. We're going to be there in trouble, but that's
awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. I like that.
That's my favorite kind. That's our cue.
I believe it is. All right. Hey, thanks for listening on Pride Day in 1 hour. The 2011 Chicago Pride Parade with Stephanie Miller and
the
historic, some sexy people.
Al Sparks, John
Stevenson. Historic first live broadcast of the parade on the radio here with our Sexy Liberals only on WCPT.
All right, we'll see you later and next week. The more I see, the less I know.